You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are gathered here tonight to celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, over death, over the devil. We are gathered here tonight to acknowledge his glorious resurrection. Yes, he laid down his life, but God the Father raised him from the dead. He is alive forevermore. We are also here tonight to rejoice in the fact that he is reigning over all things right now for the good of the church. What does that mean? He's reigning over all things for the good of those who trust in him. We could describe Jesus in many ways, but you know that sometimes here at Bethlehem, I like to think about the five key events of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we think about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Sure, we could come up with other kinds of lists, but it works out good that God has given us four fingers and a thumb, so birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Why are those things important? Well, we're talking here about his virgin birth. Nobody else has a virgin birth, so he must be the Son of God. We're talking about his sinless life. The Bible said he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. His sacrificial death. He had no sin. He would never, ever die. But yet, he took our sins, he took our punishment, and then he laid down his life. And then his glorious resurrection. It appeared that he was dead forever, but yet he is alive. And finally, on the ascension, we are remembering how he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And as I've already said, even now he is ruling and reigning over all things for the good of those who know him. Tonight we focus on a wonderful ascension hymn. The title is A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. What's included in that hymn? We're going to see his actual ascension. We're going to see the apostles who saw him ascend. We're going to see the angels who appeared after he ascended. We're going to hear of his promise to return. We're going to look at our present joy and also our future reward. And finally, we're going to look at this ongoing praise that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the contents of the sermon tonight. Let's take a closer look at it as we go to stanza one of the hymn. We come here to Jesus' actual ascension. Note the words, "A hymn of glory let us sing, new hymns throughout the world shall ring, Alleluia, Alleluia. Christ by a road before untrod ascends unto the throne of God. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia." I lost count there. Alleluia. Okay. So a lot of Alleluias. What is the idea of Alleluia? That means praise the Lord. We actually sing Alleluia 42 times in this hymn. So quite a hymn of praise. But why all the praising, though? Why all the praising? This is exactly why. All of us have earned and we deserve sin, death, and hell. Let's be honest. That's what the Bible is teaching. We have all earned and we deserve sin, death, and hell. But what has God done? God has taken radical action to provide us freely with forgiveness, life, and heaven through Jesus. Therefore, recognizing such things, the bad news of what we deserve and the good news of what we have in Jesus Christ, let us gladly sing those alleluias. Let us gladly praise the Lord. And then it said, Christ by a road before untrod. So think about the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the Son of God. First of all, in obedience to the Father, he comes down from heaven to earth. And then, in obedience to the Father, and because he has the power of God within him, he completes an impossible mission of living for us, suffering for us, dying for us. And then he returns to heaven. Quite a remarkable journey. Only he could do such things, come down from heaven, do that finished work, and then return. Only he could do it, and then he actually did it, and now, through him, we are forever blessed. In the second stanza, we see the apostles mentioned here who saw Jesus actually raise right up off the ground and ascend right up into the clouds. It must have been a remarkable thing to witness. The stanza says, "The holy apostolic band upon the Mount of Olives stand. Alleluia, alleluia. And with his faithful followers see their Lord ascend in majesty." So on the day that Jesus died, on Good Friday, before he died, he told his disciples about his departure, how he would have to leave. But he also told them, as mentioned last Sunday, he told them that he would not leave them as orphans. They would not be on their own. Instead, he said that soon after my departure, God will send you another helper. That will be the Holy Spirit, and you will find that he will be a great, great blessing to you. And then, just as Jesus had said, 40 days after his resurrection, he did ascend right up into heaven, right up into the clouds, in full view of his disciples. And then, with the third stanza, we see the angels who appeared right after Jesus disappeared into the clouds. The stanza says, "To them the shining angels cry, why stand and gaze upon the sky? Alleluia, alleluia. This is the Savior, thus they say, this is his glorious triumph day." In the Old Testament, even before this happened, we see recorded how Jesus was then welcomed back into heaven. How can that be? We find this in the book of Daniel, written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. How can that be that that would be in the Old Testament? Let's understand that the Bible is the Word of God. God knows the end from the beginning, and God knew all of this would happen, so Daniel is able to write it down, and it happened just as he wrote it. Consider these awesome words as Jesus comes from earth and re-enters back into paradise. The Bible says in Daniel 7, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed." So the Old Testament tells us what would happen, and then 40 days after Easter, in fact, it did happen. And even now, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is there at the right hand of the Father. He is reigning over all things, and especially he is reigning for the good of those who trust in him. We now go on to stanza 4. In the stanza, we see the promise of Jesus' return. The stanza says, "You see him now ascending high up to the portals of the sky. Alleluia, alleluia. Hereafter, Jesus, you shall see, returning in great majesty." So over and over again, Jesus did tell many people about his promised return. Even the angels who appeared right after he went up into the clouds, they appeared and said, "This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So he will definitely come, but we just don't know when. The Bible does tell us that he will come like a thief in the night. He will come at a very unexpected time, so let us, by God's grace, always be ready for his coming. And how are we ready? We are ready when we know Jesus Christ, when we are in relationship with him. To many people, he's going to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So by God's grace, may he keep us in relationship. And let's know how God works to do that. God is working through word and sacrament. So let us be faithful in staying in the word. Let us be faithful in receiving the sacrament. And let us know that God, who began a good work in us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then we come to stanza 5. Here we see both our present joy and also our future reward. The stanza says, "Be now our joy on earth, O Lord, and be our future great reward. Alleluia, alleluia. Then, throned with you forever, we shall praise your name eternally." Even though we live in this valley of sorrow, let us be filled with joy for these reasons. Let us be filled with joy because we know Jesus Christ. We are in relationship with him. Let us be filled with joy because we have the forgiveness of our sins, even though we are undeserving. And let us be filled with joy because we are members of God's holy family. He is our Father, Christ is our Savior and our brother, and we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Furthermore, let us remember that this life is so short in comparison to eternity. So may God help us, especially at the times of difficulty, may God help us to fix our eyes on the wonderful things that are yet to come for all who know Jesus Christ. Finally, in stanza 6, we see this ongoing praise that we should be giving to our Lord Jesus Christ. The stanza says, "O risen Christ, ascended Lord, all praise to you let earth accord. Alleluia, alleluia. You are, while endless ages run, with Father and with Spirit one." So what can we say about Jesus? Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is ascended to the Father's right hand. And Jesus is God with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let us give them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us give them our praise for making us, for sustaining us in this life, for saving us, and also for promising us a most wonderful eternity through Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. We thank you, dear Holy Trinity, for all of our temporal and eternal blessings. Help us to see them, to be thankful for them, and give you much praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.